Thank you, Linda. That was Remind Me, Dear Lord. Remind me of how good you are. Remind me of what you do. And remind me of who you are. And there's no better way to be reminded of that than to look into the Word of God itself. And this morning we find ourselves over in a very short chapter in the book of Hosea. Hosea is, I believe, the 12th last book of the Old Testament, the first of the minor prophets. Hosea chapter 3, a very short five-verse chapter. And we're going to read all five verses right off the bat, since it's just five verses, to set the tone for where we are. And we'll do that in just a moment. But if you only get one thing out of the book of Hosea, and if you only get one thing out of our study in the minor prophets, however far we choose to take that, I hope it is that the loving kindness of our Lord, that His goodness, His blessings is there for us in spite of us not being able to deserve it. And part two of that is that should inspire or spar in us a desire to be faithful to Him, a desire to be faithful with our service, a desire to be faithful with our thoughts. And that's what we see here in Hosea chapter 5. So that's the one thing I hope you carry away. If you carry nothing else away, it's that right there. Read with me in verse number 1. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and an half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide with me, or for me, many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. Now, if you will look at your handout, I want to start by reading a paragraph at the end of page 1. It says, In the minor prophets, we see His amazing love and kindness and long-suffering. I want to read the quote that G. Campbell Morgan said many years ago. I read this our first week, 2 weeks ago, in the introduction to the minor prophets, but I want to read it again, because he says it so much better than I could even begin to say it. G. Campbell Morgan observed, When I decided to take up these minor prophets, I expected to study a very magnificent section of prophecy in which I should hear stern, hard, magnificent Hebrew prophets thundering against sin. I found this even more than I had expected. But the supreme thing in which every one of their prophecies is that the God with whom these men were intimate was known by them to be a God of tender love, of infinite compassion, angry because He loves, dealing in wrath upon the basis of His love, and proceeding through judgment to the ultimate purpose of His heart. It is the heartbeat of God that throbs through these passages. You turn the page, and I've got a major theme of the minor prophets, is we see God's zeal and passion. Now, why, you ask, why are you going through this? Because I don't know if this will help you, but it helped me kind of see what the minor prophets were trying to say, that God was very passionate, and he was very zealous in His love toward His people. He's very passionate in His judgment. But the third line there says, God is passionate in His jealousy. God is passionate, very passionate in His jealousy. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. This is one of the commandments that we went through many, many months ago. Maybe even a year, I don't remember. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So, in that commandment, we see that God is a very jealous God. Now, in our society today, and rightly so to a point, jealousy among people, among men and women, is looked down upon. The lack of trust, the lack of being able to get along with that person, the lack of intimacy there. However, when it comes to God being jealous for his people, it's because of the passion of the love that he has toward them. God has a desire to love us, and God does love us with a passion. And because of that, he has a jealousy. He has a jealousy when we go ways that are far from him. When we go down paths that take us away from him, he is a jealous God and does not want that to happen. Ezekiel 39, verse 25 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. He is a jealous God, and one of the things that he is jealous for is the goodness and the righteousness of his name. I think of Psalms 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When God directs us and when God leads us, he wants us to follow him for his name's sake. He's a righteous God. He is a good God. He wants the best for us in our life. He wants us to trust him. And some of that is for his name's sake. He's got something hanging out there, if you will. He's got something hanging out there for the world to see and for us to acknowledge, and that's the sake of his name. So we come to the book of Hosea in chapter 3. And chapter 3 is a little bit similar to chapter 1 in that in chapter 1, God tells Hosea to take Gomer, that's the name of this woman who will become a whore. In chapter 1, God tells her to take him, and in by the time chapter 3 rolls around, he has already taken her, and Gomer has already gone down her paths of destruction. Now, let's just be honest about this thing. This would be a very complicated and difficult thing to accept, the thing that Hosea had to accept. Here God told him to begin with what was going to happen, and it has happened. And Hosea had a love for Gomer, but she went, the Bible says, she went a-whoring after other men, and the damage has been done. And in chapter 3, he says in verse 1, the Lord said unto me, go yet, love a woman. You've already taken her, and she's already done something. She's already destructed your marriage, and she's already been unfaithful. But I want you to love her. Boy, that's difficult. Can you say amen to that? Boy, that's tough. And he says, love a woman, beloved of her friend. They tell us that means, probably it means that beloved of Hosea. Hosea loves her. Yet she's an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Now they tell us that a flagons was simply a rice cake. It was the dried grape made into a rice cake. And it was something that was offered in the children of Israel's sacrifice to other gods, to other false gods. So in chapter 1 he says, take her. In chapter 3 he says, love her in spite of what's happened. And it's all a symbol of the way God is toward his people. He saves us. He cares for us. He calls us by his name. And we might go after him faithfully for many years or for a time, but ultimately, because we're human and because we wonder, when we wonder, we become like Gomer. Verse number 2 says, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley." That's 1.5 homers of barley. Homers for Gomer, if you will. So, yeah, I got a few smiles out of that anyway. So, Hosea is told, look, I want you to go get her, okay? And I want you're going to have to pay for her. I want you to go get her and bring her back to you, and I want you to love her. And Hosea says, I bought her for 15 pieces of silver. They tell us that the going price for a slave back then was 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces. And here Homer has to buy back his wife, but the price that he has to pay is only 15 pieces of silver. This woman had sunk so low that the price to get her back was only half of what it took to get a slave back. Can I just tell you, the thing that I see from that is this right here, is sin always takes us farther than we want to go. It does. We think at the time we leave the Lord and this is not too bad. I mean, I'm not, you know, I am the world's best at rationalization, Roy. So I can rationalize better than anybody in here. But what we as Christians, when we do that, we get in trouble. Right, Travis? We get in trouble. Oh, this is not going to hurt me that much. I can get over this, you know. I've got grace and freedom. I can get... Okay, you do that. You do that. But know this right here. Sin will take you farther than you'll want to go. So Hosea bought her for 15 pieces of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. Now, the significance of the barley is this right here. Barley was the grain that was fed to animals, and wheat was the grain that was fed to people. So here, Homer goes and gets his wife back and pays for her half the price of what it took for a slave when you bought a slave, and also he paid the wheat, or he paid the barley, he paid what it took to get animals, not even for a person. She sunk that low. And God tells him, go get her back. I want you to love her. And he says, that's what I did, and this is what I paid for her. And in verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. So he says, I've brought you back, but here, there's going to be a probation period, Gomer. You won't have an opportunity to play the harlot anymore. You're not going to belong to another man. And in turn, I will be for no one else either. That's what that last sentence, or that last phrase means. So will I also be for thee. In chapter 1, Gomer knew that ahead of her lay a life of moral defection. Here, she's looking back and she's hearing the fact that her husband has bought her back, and she's being given this condition, this probation. And it shows us here that God expects something in return. Because this is all a symbol of God's love toward Israel. This is not about Hosea and Gomer, okay? God told Hosea to take this woman to be his wife, and then in chapter 3 to bring her back, because God wanted to show me and you how deep the love was that he has for his people. Now this is all about God and the children of Israel, but we see the nature of God. Take that from it. This is how God is towards his people. Okay? This is how God treats his people. And while the words here might seem to be stern, in Hosea's words to her, they're stern, and you know, they're rules, and they're serious, but they also show us his great love and his great assurance. And the prophetical or the practical application of this is in the last two verses. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. This verse describes Israel up to the present day. The children of Israel have a religious system, but it's not approved and appointed by God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because the only religious system appointed and approved by God is the worship of His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world. The Jews don't recognize that. They're in a period of time that this verse talks about right there. They have no prince. They don't have a God-appointed sacrifice. They don't have an image, and the ephods that they use now in their worship are not the ephod, David started them on, Moses started them on way back in the time of the tabernacle. Everything that they do is not appointed by God. Israel will be without a monarchy. She'll have neither a reigning monarch, or she will not have a reigning prince. She'll be without a sacrifice. The thing that she does in her worship of the Lord will not be real. It will not be appointed by God. It will not be approved by God. And it says that she will not be involved in idolatry. Now, if you stop and think about it, the Jews don't have idols. They have their worship system. And so this verse is all about the children of Israel like they are today. And you say, well, once again, how does this affect me? The way this affects me and the way this affects you is it just shows us the nature of God. It says in verse 5, afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. And as we said last week, what we'll see in the book of Hosea is a reference to the millennium, that point of time in which God will rule the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and here David is mentioned as their king. Now, we don't know for sure if David is going to be a king in the millennium, but we know that there will be, that Jesus is the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. So there will be kings and there will be lords. David mentioned that last week in his message, and he'll mention that tonight as he talks about heaven. But he gives us this little window into Hosea, taking this woman, this harlot, this woman of a wife of whoredom, as the Bible calls her. And he brings her back to him, and she doesn't deserve it. And yet he does it anyway. And she sunk so low that it takes so much less to get her back as it does a slave, but he does it anyway. And that's the way God is toward His people. Unlimited grace. Undeserved for grace. But He gives it anyway. If you only get one thing, and this will be about the third time I've said this, if you only get one thing out of the book of Hosea, get that right there. God is a God of deep grace. God is a God of giving to Dwayne and to Valerie much more than they deserve. God is a God who bestows upon His people limitless blessings that they don't deserve. Do you notice how proud we get in life sometimes? We don't even notice this sometimes. We don't even realize we're this way. But when we're wronged, or when things happen in our life, or we lose a job, or things don't go right, we get to thinking that, hey, I don't deserve this. This shouldn't be happening to me. Well, if you want to know the truth, what do we actually ever deserve? You know, God has placed us on this earth, and He's given us this life that we have. He's given us this breath that we have. And Royce, He could have not done that to begin with. And we go through life and we have so much, and things are going good for us, and when things go wrong just a little bit, we begin to think that God's no longer good. Well, He's good anyway. He's good by putting us on this earth anyway and giving us the grace and His gifts and His love toward us anyway. But because we got that heart that gets messed up from time to time, we forget. We forget. There was a period of time in which Gomer was to not have conjugal relations with her husband Hosea or with anyone else. And I don't know what that time was, but the Bible refers to it. And that's so she could be shown that she really was okay. That she meant business. That she was going to come back around and be faithful to her husband this time. And there would be no relations between Hosea and Gomer until that time was over. For Hosea too. And that tells me here that although God is a God of love and patience and grace, and we live in an age of grace, thank goodness, thank the Lord. But He expects us to be real. He expects us to show who we are, for us to show our seriousness about serving Him. Our realism, the sincerity of our heart. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Day in, day out, does Dwayne show God? Does Dwayne prove to God that he loves him? Now, I can prove it to you. That's not too hard. And you can prove it to me, because we can pull the wool over each other's eyes all we want. Right, Linda? But we can't do that to God. And at the end of the day, the Lord knows the sincerity and the realism and the truthfulness of my heart and your heart. And that's all that matters, Royce. You know that? That's just all that matters. I mean, I want Elizabeth and Pat to like me, but at the end of the day, what's most important is for God to have a pretty high opinion of me, don't you think? That's what I should care about. So we see in Hosea once again just a little reminder that God's love is limitless, and God's love is deep, and we should be grateful. We should be able to serve Him. We should have a desire to be real in our life in whatever it is, whatever capacity that we have to do that. As we go into chapter 4 and chapter 5, we're going to see that over and over again, and I'm not sure how far we're going to go in the 12 minor prophets, but we're going to see the same thing hammered out over and over again in a number of different scenarios. How much He loves us, how much He cares for us, and how much grace that He has for us. Boy, it's something to remember. It's something to not forget. Would you pray with me?